If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, many of you know this story by heart. I hate to say story, but account. It's a true account. But we're going to hopefully give you some things that some you may already know, some you may not. But what the Lord has impressed upon us to share with you tonight. Beginning in verse 19, Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound, and here's the phrase again, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into, there it is again, the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking, here it is, in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And as I've stated many times, and our pastor has as well, it wasn't like the Son of God, it was the Son of God. He said, I see someone that doesn't look like any human I've ever seen before. He saw the Son of God. You all know this story. This is elementary. We've learned this since Sunday school class of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know why they were there. They were in captivity 70 years now. They've been in captivity, a 70-year period of time, rather. And in the midst of this book of Daniel, we have a familiar story about these three Hebrew boys that the reason why they were thrown into the midst of the fiery furnace is because they took a stand and they would not bow to an idol. They would not bow to the king or anything of the world. And so we know that Nebuchadnezzar commanded that they would, if he would do it again, and then if they wouldn't bow, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so we know that's where we picked up in our text. And so as I was reading over this and as I was praying about this, I want you to notice some things about being in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. What do we do in the midst of a fiery furnace? The fiery furnace is really an example of fiery trials. And what we are facing right now in this world, and especially right now in America, it has come to us like a burning fiery furnace. One day we wake up and everything's normal. Well, whatever normal is, really, there's not going to be a new normal. Nothing's going to be normal from now on. It never was, even to begin with. Normal usually happens right before a storm and right after a storm. That's when normal really happens. But other than that, most of the time, our days and our weeks and months are filled with storms and are filled with fiery trials. And this pandemic that we are facing right now has come to us like a fiery furnace. So I want to give you a prescription, if you will, of what we are to do in the midst of the fiery furnace. We see it right here in our text. I want you to notice, first of all, observation. Observation. Look again at verse 25. Nebuchadnezzar said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. He says, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Now, you know, there wasn't four men to begin with. We know that the Bible makes it very plain. There was three men that they threw into the fire. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, he saw four men. Basically, what the Lord showed me was this. What he saw now, he couldn't see before the fire. Now, let's run that over one more time. He could not see the fourth man until the midst of the fiery furnace. So what I'm trying to tell us is tonight, what do we do in the midst of the fiery furnace? Listen to me right now. There are many people that have never seen Jesus before until this fire started in America. But I want you to know right now, in the midst of the fire, Jesus is walking right in the middle of us. And the world and America and our community and our neighbors are going to be looking for something. And what they need to see is Jesus. They don't need to see us. They don't need to see our Facebook posts. They need to see Jesus. And listen, they might not have saw him before the fire, but I guarantee right now, if they will look in the midst of this fiery furnace right here in Rubyville, they're going to see a fourth man likened unto the Son of God. I'm so thankful he's walking in the midst of this fiery furnace with us. And even though some of you couldn't see him before the fire, thank God, I want you to know he's with us now. He's always been with us. But through this fire, God's going to show himself like he's never shown himself before. And some of you won't believe until you see him. Some people have seen that. And really, that's not what faith is. But some of God's greatest characters in the Bible didn't believe until they saw him. Did you know that Jesus' own brethren, his own family, didn't believe he was Jesus Christ? They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. He didn't believe that he was Christ. In fact, you'll find that James and his brethren were not even mentioned as disciples until after Jesus rose from the dead. John chapter 7 tells us that he was not even known of his brethren. But then we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he was seen of James. So really we can, and most scholars believe, and I tend to believe this as well, that James did not believe, his own brother did not believe he was the Christ until he saw him resurrected. And so what I want to try to get across to you tonight is, you need to see Jesus like you've never seen him before. I know him as the Son of God. I know him as the resurrected Son of God. I believe in whom I haven't seen, but he's showing us right now through all of this fiery trial. He's still in control. He's still the resurrected King of Kings and of Lord of Lords. It's time for you to believe in him. And Nebuchadnezzar believed because he saw the observation. Notice secondly, the congregation. Notice this. They were in the fire together. Now, we know at the end of 2020, and thank God, aren't you, can't wait for December 31st, 2020. But the number, there's going to be a couple of phrases that are going to be the number one most used phrases in 2020. Number one is going to be quarantine or self-quarantine. And number two is going to be what? Social distancing. Now, as many of you that are in Ohio, around 2, 2:30 every day, we try to tune in and see what's going on with Governor DeWine. And then he also brings up a doctor. Her name is Amy Acton. And I'm not going to speak against or for it. I'm just telling you what she said a few weeks ago. She said, we use the word social distancing, but really it should be physical distancing. She said, it's very important that when we are going through this, that we maintain contact some way, somehow. And I thought about that as I was thinking about these three Hebrew boys in the midst of this fiery furnace together. Those of you under the sound of my voice, no one in this nation has not been affected by what's going on right now. We are in this together. And even though we may be physically separated, this is not the time to socially distance ourselves from one another, especially the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's in the midst of the fiery furnace with us. And if we need to do what God has done, is he's taking away everything from us that we put in front of him, and we've kind of got to the point, you know what? We could have made it without a lot of this stuff that we think we need to have. But listen, one thing you do not need to go without, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the presence of God. So may we remember, we are in this together. And if we're in the fire together, bless God, one day we're going to walk out of the fire together. Hallelujah. The congregation. Now notice this, the liberation. Verse 25, he said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Now that don't do much for you unless you read verse 24. Because he said, didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? But I see four men loose walking around. What? The fire was meant to burn them up, but all it did was set them free. Hallelujah, glory to God. Woo, I'll say that one more time for those of you that are listening. Get those fire emojis ready. But the fire was meant to burn him up, but thank God it set him free. And what the devil is meant for evil, God's turning it around for good. The fiery trial that we're going through right now is only going to set us free. The things that are binding us will loose us. We can walk around in the midst of the fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you know what it means to have some stuff on you that didn't come off until you got in the fire. Some of you know what it means to be bound by things of this world. But then when you got in the fire, thank God that the only thing that burned them was what was binding them. And aren't you glad tonight that whatever you're going through, whatever is binding you right now through this fiery trial, let it burn off the things that you don't need in your life. Listen now, God showed me this as well. Not only did it burn what was binding them, but also the fire separated some people from them. You notice what I read at the beginning of the text? Toward the beginning, the men that took them to the fiery furnace died because of the fire. God is allowing this fiery trial to burn some people out of your life. I'm not saying they're going to die. I'm not saying God's going to kill them. But God is trying to separate some of us from people that don't need to be in our lives. And we need to take personal inventory. So you can say amen or oh me right there. And I told you we need to be not socially distant, but what I'm trying to tell us is we need to understand where our hope comes from. And our hope comes from Jesus Christ. We see the observation, the congregation, the liberation. But I want you to notice this, the resurrection. Now, verse 25 again. Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Now, there's a little stretch on this, so just bear with me and I'll try to explain this the best way I can. Now, verse 25 says they were walking in the midst of the fire. Now go back up with me to verse 23, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fire furnace. So verse 23, they were down, they fell down bound, but now in verse 25, they are up walking. Now, the word resurrection in the New Testament comes from the Greek word anastasis, which means to rise up again, is what it means. That root word anastemi means to, the word ana is up and the word stemi is to stand. So the root word here is resurrection is stand up, and the resurrection stand up again. And we always think the resurrection is when Jesus Christ walked out of the grave. But can I tell you, the resurrection happened when he stood up in the midst of the grave. Oh, that's when the resurrection started. He stood up right in the middle of death and said, I hold the keys of death, hell, and the grave. These three men, hold on now, hold on your hat. These three men fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace, but when God showed up, God resurrected them, and they stood up right in the middle of the fiery furnace and began walking around right in the midst of their fiery trial. You say, Brian, what does that have to do with me? I am so glad you asked. Some of us, all we're getting done is just sitting around the house. That's all we're getting done. But God, what God's trying to get us to do spiritually is through this fiery trial, we need to stand up and start walking right in the midst of this fiery trial. Thank God you cannot walk out of it until you walk in it. Hallelujah. And it's time for us right in the midst of the fire to start walking around and say, Satan, you can't bind me. Satan, you can't hold me in here. No matter how long I'm in this fire, God's right here with me, and we're going to walk out of it. But while I'm walking out of it, I'm going to walk in it. Amen. We walk in it before you walk out of it. Somebody type walk in it on your comments. Walk in it. We got to walk in it. Walk in it. That shows Satan what you have tried to burn me with, what you tried to get me down. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to walk right in the midst of this. I'm going to raise my hand. Do you think they were just walking around going, oh, well, what do we do next? No, I guarantee their hands were raised to an almighty God, and they were praising God right in the midst of the fire while they were walking around. Aren't you thankful in the midst of the fire? We can walk in it. What Satan's trying to defeat us with. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. The resurrection. But finally, I want you to notice this. The protection. Verse 25. Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. The protection. The protection. They have no hurt. In fact, we find out later, the smell of smoke wasn't even on them. You know, that's a miracle within itself. Because I guarantee if we have some visitors at evangelistic outreach and they've been to Hickey's Hamburgers before they came, I know they've been to Hickey's. I can smell them before they walk into the place. So you can't tell me that that was even a miracle by itself. They didn't even smell like smoke. Their hair wasn't singed, their clothes wasn't burned. They were fine right in the middle of the fire, and they were free. And now they had no harm, protection. Doesn't the Bible say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies? The enemies of this world are surrounding us. And you know what I get to do every day? Sit down and enjoy a meal with Jesus. And as my dear friend Billy Fields, our dear friend Billy Fields wrote one of the greatest lines ever written. No offense, Darren, but one of the greatest lines ever written. He often lets me sit at his table, and all the enemy can do is watch me eat. Hallelujah. Satan can't touch me because God is with me. You say, well, Brian, how did God protect them in the midst of that fiery furnace? Now, you know, there's been a lot of spiritual allegories brought out that God created a central air unit to keep them from burning. You know, a lot of things like that. But did you know that if you have a certain element and it's heated to a certain degree, let's say, let's just pull out 300 degrees. If you heat that element to 300 degrees, and you place that into a fire that's 200 degrees, do you know the fire won't affect that element? Because it's heated hotter than the fire is. Some of you know where I'm going. But Brian, Nebuchadnezzar heated it 7 times hotter. Oh, but what Nebuchadnezzar didn't know is God heated the 3 Hebrew boys 8 times hotter. And the 3 Hebrew boys were hotter on the inside than the fire was around them. So the fire didn't even affect them. In fact, what I found out, and I actually texted a couple of firemen, and they told me the same thing. They said that the element that's so hot will actually affect the fire and make the fire hotter. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me tonight, folks. What's on the inside of us during this fiery trial? You may think the flames are getting up near you, but just pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost come and fill your body, come and fill your spirit, and the flames of hell cannot touch you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is hotter than any flame that hell can send our way. The song says, for I escaped that awful place since Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair upon my head will into that place go. And I won't have to worry since the Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Aren't you glad that when we're saved, we got the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that fire will take me all the way through out of the midst of the fiery furnace. Glory to God.